Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Knoxville Hospital and Clinics has a new physician. Let's go in-depth with Dr. James Law. Well, Dr. Law, where are you from?
I'm from Indianola, Iowa.
So pretty close to home then.
Yeah, just stone throw away. Yep.
And so where'd you go to school?
Well, graduated from Indianola High School. Then I went over to University of Iowa to do my undergraduate education. Then I went over to Des Moines University to do my medical school. And then ended up my training and residency at Broadlands doing family medicine.
What made you want to stay in the neighborhood?
Well, my wife and I are both from Indianola. We both have family here in the Indianola area. My mom actually lives in Altoona, but, you know, very close to. Grew up loving Iowa, rural Iowa. My family had a farm up in by Ames and just loved the Iowa atmosphere, the Iowa community, the small town community.
You like the small town life then?
Definitely, yes.
What made you want to be a doctor?
Well, I grew up doing a lot of mission work and trying to help others that were in need, and that was kind of my core foundation. I decided that, you know, that was kind of one of my missions in life, was to try to help others that were in need, and that was, I thought, one of the better ways to be able to do it.
Well, you can help people in need all kinds of ways. You picked probably the most difficult one, right? The one that takes the most education?
Well, it might take one of the most education. I wouldn't call it the most difficult. It's when you like doing something, I don't think it's that difficult.
So do you remember the specific moment when you said, I'm going to be a doctor?
No, it was in high school sometime that it might have been on one of the mission trips that I had done and said, you know, I can repair this person's house and try to help build them spiritually up. But, you know, if they were dealing with all these other chronic medical problems, and the medical problems were the reasons why they got into having financial hardships in the beginning with, I thought that would be one of the main ways I could help.
What does your practice focus on?
My practice will focus on full scope family medicine, except OB. Delivering babies. We'll do OB care up to 28 weeks, I believe, here in Knoxville. I will be working here in the clinic. I'll be working in the hospital, rounding on my patients from time to time. I'll be rounding in the nursing home, as well as I'll be in the ER on occasion. So I wanted to do a full scope family medicine to take care of everybody from brand new baby to grandma and grandpa.
Why?
Because I feel like that's how doctors should be, and they should be able to get to know their patients, because not all of a patient's story is just buried in their medical chart. It's with their family, how they grew up, their beliefs, and everything else that makes a whole person. And I feel like that's what I want to treat.
Potentially 20, 30 years from now, you'll be working with kids that are then parents, maybe even grandparents,
exactly,
if you stay long enough. So you think that, I mean, nobody can see what's in your future is, but sort of ideally you want to see the whole family, to see people grow and prosper, hopefully.
Exactly. And so be with them for the goods and the bads. And I think that's the joy of doing family medicine.
Is it difficult when you don't get the whole family? I'm just thinking, if you want to get the whole family, that's sort of probably hard to wrangle everybody, isn't it?
It is. It's there's not a perfect world. I mean, we get who we can, and we're happy to see them. So we'd be more than happy to see the whole family, though.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Dr. James Law with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics.
Why did you come to Knoxville?
Well, I liked the practice, the build of the practice here. I had trained to do full scope family medicine, and that's what I'd wanted to do and wanted to have done since starting medical school. And after the residency, I continued to want to do the same thing. The practice fit. It was close to home. One of my colleagues from my residency, as well as another close friend from medical school, also came down here, and we thought that we could all form a good team and help the team out that was already down here.
Also, some other doctors that you went to school with, you decided you must have got along fine
in school. Exactly, exactly, yep.
And you know each other's interests and how you might play off each other? Is that part of it?
Exactly. Dr. Laughlin and I specifically have been really good friends since our probably first week of medical school. And we've kind of known our each other's goals and kind of how they practice medicine. And we feed pretty well with each other, feed off each other pretty well, and can play with each other's strengths and benefits and work well with each other. And that's important when you're going to be on call with somebody or be working with somebody for hopefully the rest of your career.
Now, I'm probably just exposing my ignorance here, but I guess I didn't know that doctors went through the nursing homes. I guess they had to, but I didn't know that. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I believe this is how it was. Each patient at a nursing home needs a doctor supervising them. So they have their own technical patients in the nursing home themselves, and we would try to help take care of them, manage their medications, see them if anything acute pops up, as well as just check on them every month or two to make sure they're doing okay in there.
I may be the only person, you know, listening or participating that didn't know that, but it makes a lot of sense. And then you travel there to visit them.
Sure.
And so then they don't have to get up and get out, and that makes a lot of sense.
And that's the point, because most of the people in the nursing home some of the people are not able to get up and do that sort of thing. And not everybody in the nursing home is there for their rest of their life. Some people are just there for a month or two to get stronger to get back to home. So we're there to for the ease of the patient and for the staff, and we can go there and change medications, change different orders around to try to make the patient better.
What kind of patients do you prefer working with? Must be fun to work with small kids.
Sure.
I would think.
Well, it can be good or bad, you know, but you don't like giving kids shots, but sometimes you got to do it. I like working all patients. I don't really have a preference, I guess. There's goods and bads about every single one.
How about working with grumpy old guys?
Well, my dad's a grumpy old guy, so I can get along with grumpy old guys just fine.
How do they train you, or is this just something that comes natural to deal with all of the different personality types?
Going through medical school, that's something that's you can't really teach in a book. That's more of what we call the art of medicine, that you just kind of pick up as you go, and you kind of, depending on somebody's personality, you kind of jive with them and see how it works. You can't really teach that in a book.
So do you have to get them to open up a little bit?
Yeah, and I think that's the great thing about being family medicine in general, because you can build a rapport with your patient. You've, again, seen them grow up. Hopefully you've seen their ups and downs, and you can kind of build that rapport. And you know that if they're acting somewhat different or grumpy, for instance, something might be going on that's deeper than what they're telling you. And that's good to be able to know your patients like that.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Dr. James Law with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. How do you know the right questions to ask of a patient, and how does a patient know what they need to tell a doctor?
The more and more you go through training and the more patients you see, the more easily you can be able to ask those right questions. I don't always ask the right questions, but sometimes you take some of the wrong questions to steer you in the direction of the right questions. The best way a patient can help the doctor is just be honest and try to give the whole truth is really what it is.
Well, and sometimes we don't know enough to give you the truth. I mean, sure. We don't know the muscles, the organs,
sure.
The bones. And so all we can really do is sometimes is point and say it hurts.
Sure. But that's not your job to figure out. That's our job. So point to somewhere that hurts, and we'll try to go on the questioning, go with a line of questioning to help see if we can figure out what's going on.
So let's say I tell you my knee hurts. What are you going to ask me?
A lot of things. When did it start? What makes it better or worse? Any history of any trauma to your knee, any operations to your knee, and then a slew of them all down the line.
So I can answer all those.
Okay. That's good. See, that's all you have to do is just be honest with your doctor, and he or she can get more in depth if they need to.
What if I'm afraid to go to the doctor?
Why are you afraid to go to the doctor?
Because you might find something wrong.
Sure. If you find something wrong, then we try to work with it together, though. That's a part of being the rapport with the patient, that even though I do find something wrong, I've known you for long enough, or I trust you and you trust me, and we'll deal with it together when those things come, because bad things do happen to good people, unfortunately.
And so, but that's why you want this long-term relationship,
exactly.
Is so that I'm comfortable coming to you. So I only have to come to you once.
Sure.
And then maybe I'm not scared to come to you anymore.
Sure.
Do you think that's common? Do you think we have a lot of listeners out there that think, it's not so bad, I don't need to go to the doctor?
It's common. I mean, people don't like going to the doctor sometimes because they're scared of needles, scared of what they might find. But, you know, we're here to help people make them feel better and get them better. So that's why we want them to come in.
And I'm not going to get any better if I don't come in, probably.
Probably not, yeah. Maybe, though. You just never know.
You never know, but it's not going to hurt to talk to you.
Exactly.
All of a sudden, some problem isn't going to develop because I walk through the hospital door.
And sometimes, even if it's a problem that would get better, then we're here to reassure you that, hey, yeah, it does get better. Sometimes the body can heal itself. It's one of the main teaching principles from Des Moines University, where all three of the new doctors graduated from. And sometimes just reassurance is all we need, and that's good for peace of mind.
And how do you work with the family? Let's say that somebody's sick, mm-hmm. and they're in bad shape. How do you tell a family bad news like that?
Well, that it kind of depends on the family, and you know, if we're able to tell the family. Sometimes the family's not around, and sometimes the family doesn't want to talk to other family members. But if we have the permission, we just try to have family meetings. At least that's where we did when I trained, is you had family meetings with nurses, doctors, other care coordinators, and social workers and stuff, and we try to hash out all the problems that we're facing and have the whole family kind of help make decisions if need be. A patient should be the number one decision maker, but if, like you were saying, they were very sick and they weren't able to, we try to keep the whole family integrated with our health team and try to make decisions that way.
So you're treating the patient, but you're also sort of treating the family too?
Exactly.
What's the most rewarding part of your job?
I would say making something good out of a bad situation. So, for instance, you want me to tell you a story about that?
You bet.
Sure. So, in training, I had one of my hardest cases I've had was a new diagnosis of cancer in a child. I had met him at Blank Children's Hospital, and we'd got pretty close. He was attached to me for unknown reasons. I guess I sounded like his uncle, so it kind of soothed him, and he was able to talk to me more than others. With that, he had a bad diagnosis of cancer, but his family had kind of kept me in the loop, and they had invited me to his head shaving party that he had, you know, for moral support for him, and we had went, and just having his dad come up and just give me a hug after all that had happened and saying, you know, thank you so much for being a part of it, and you know, helping all of us get through it was one of the most rewarding things I've had in medicine. One of the most emotional, but also one of the most rewarding.
Thanks to Dr. James Law for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.